Well, God bless you all, and what a great week it's been. Nice to know that I'm back at my shop in Sea Mills. I'm not at Horfield and Filton, which was a little challenging, but I didn't give up. I continued to stay faithful to the task at hand, and I really got the rewards and the benefits for being faithful. A couple of weeks ago, I done a teaching on being consistent and persistent. And, you know, the more I look at this, the more the understanding I get. And when we go to God and we share our hearts with God, when we're having challenging times or when things aren't going smooth, you know, it's very easy sometimes just to feel that you just want to give up. Well, I've had enough. I'm not doing it. But that's not what God wants. See, God never made a failure. And he doesn't want us, when we come up against challenges and when things aren't going as they should be, you know, most people just think, well, you know, they moan and they groan and they give up. But see, God wants us to hang in there. And so with this in mind, I just was going through, well, obviously talking with Lawrence, we have conversations, being husband and wife, and topics come up as we're talking. And again, I noticed that Lawrence put a reading
article,
an article on the website about visions and goals, getting detailed with your desires. And it really hit home again how much God worked with the generations before us. And great and mighty men all had a purpose, had a plan. God worked in their hearts and great things were accomplished. And I know I always refer to Noah because that just blows me away. And I actually did learn something very helpful when I was going back through Noah. I mean, we all know about Noah and how he built the ark, but we're going to take a bit more of an in-depth look at that tonight. But I want you to turn to Habakkuk. And chapter 2. And let's start off here in Habakkuk chapter 2, and in verse 2 it says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The just shall live by faith. And that relates to like Noah. Noah must have had great faith. When we see what he accomplished, he didn't give up. He held on in there, and a great task was accomplished. In Proverbs, I'm going to take a look. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29. And in verse 18, it says, "Where there is no vision or a direction, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Noah had a vision and he had a plan. And I guess he did write it down. Let's take a look. Genesis chapter 6. And I'm going to read verse 9 first. So Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just or a righteous man and perfect, whole or complete in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Doesn't say here that Noah came up with this idea all by himself. He didn't just suddenly wake up one morning and think, well, I'm going to build an ark. Let's read in verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I would destroy them with the earth. And God's still speaking to Noah at this point. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. So God is showing Noah a plan. Just like builders today, they work by plans. They make these wonderful, you know, architects come up with a drawing and it's pitched to size. And people look at the drawings, they work it out, they plot it, and they start building these buildings. Just exactly the same, but in Noah's day, obviously, they didn't have all the technology that the builders have today and the architects have. But God gave a specific number. Now, obviously, cubits back then, I think they measured somewhere between their elbow and their middle finger. Well, some men may have had a slightly bigger arm, longer arm, but on average, all right, I'm not quoting this, I'm just saying an average, the length of the ark would have been around 437 feet. The width would have been a roughly 72 feet, and the height would have been 43 feet. We are talking humongous, really humongous. Then the other thing that comes into question is the length of time it took Noah to build it. Some say it was 120 years because they read in chapter 6 verse 3 towards the latter part of that, yet his day shall be 120 years. But some scholars have looked into it. They've taken the age of Noah, the age of his children, and it could be anywhere between the 50 and 75 years. But what we have to know is that God doesn't tell us a specific time. Okay? If it was important for us to know that it took Noah 120 years or it took him 50 years or 75 years, all these biblical scholars have really looked into it and they all come up with different time spans. But even if it was 50 years or even if it was 120 years, it's still a long time. Noah was persistent and he was consistent. He didn't give up. God gave him what he wanted him to build. He gave him the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. And Noah stayed faithful to the task. If we read on, it says in verse 17, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, that thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. This is where they also bring in how long it took Noah to build the ark, because obviously back in the beginning it said that Noah was 500 years old and Noah begat Shem. But it takes a lot of going into, and I don't have time to do it with you tonight. But it's something that you could look into yourself if you were interested. But then it says in verse 19, and of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark, to keep them, he's talking about the animals, alive with thee. Thou shalt be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. There's the important part. Shall come unto thee. So it wasn't like Noah had to go out and spend years gathering all these animals and all these insects and birds. And no. Every sort shall come unto thee. So Noah didn't even have to go out and collect them all up. God brought them to Noah when the ark was completed. Verse 21. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all, without exception, what God had commanded him, so did he. So, being persistent, he had a plan, he had a vision, and he built the ark. See, God, when he puts the desires and the visions in our hearts, he gets very detailed. Now, if you're going to God consistently and your relationship with God is sound and strong, you'll really see how detailed God gets with you when he wants you to accomplish something. Sometimes people don't know what a vision is, or they don't know what to do. But if you go to God, he is a faithful God and he will show you. Sometimes you just have to be a little persistent. You have to hold on in there until you get the full picture. I remember Lawrence sharing with me once about a dream he had. And do you know what? It wasn't for about 4 or 5 years that he actually got the meaning of that dream. But he'd never let it go. He kept thinking about it. You know, what was God trying to show me? And then after about 4 or 5 years, God really opened that dream up to him and showed him what it was about. So sometimes we have to hold on in there. Sometimes it's not that clear like it was with Noah. But God will reveal it to you as you stay faithful and you stay committed. Another person was George Mueller. Funny that Kim was talking about him tonight. You know, he came to England from Germany. And he saw all the parentless kids, because we'd obviously had a disease that had taken a lot of the elderly, the infirm, the young ones, the parents, the grandparents, and it left a lot of children on the streets. And George believed that God showed him to buy land. And on that land he was to build a house. And that house was to be big enough to house 300 children. Now, back in the day, which I think was around 1849, it would have cost George Mueller £10,000 to build one house. A lot of money. But he went on to build another four houses. He built five houses in total. And he housed over 2,000 children at one time, but over a period of time 17,000 children passed through his doors.
Wow.
And for every meal he put on that table, he believed God to feed them, he believed God to clothe them, and he believed God to, once they got to an age where they could do an apprenticeship, he believed God to place those children in a very well-to-do house with well-to-do people that may have their own business, went to church, you know, would allow these children to go to church on Sunday. They weren't allowed to work on the Sunday. But there was a plan in place. And George Mueller really looked to God for all this to come to pass. So George Mueller had a vision, he had a goal, and he stayed persistent. You know, he didn't have a job. In fact, when he came from Germany, he was a bit of a rogue, a bit of a thief, you know. But when he saw the children, he had compassion. And he turned to God and said, God, you know, you work with me and I will do your will. And he did. He went on to be a man of great faith. Now, I've taken two tonight. I've taken Noah and I've taken George Mueller, but we've got Jesus Christ. You know, he also did what God put in his heart. God showed him plans and visions. In fact, he done the greatest vision because he actually gave mankind a life that was eternal. That was God's master plan. And he placed that in Christ and Christ brought it to pass. So don't think that you're not as great as Jesus Christ or as George Mueller or as Noah, because you are God's masterpiece. He never made a failure, guys. He wants you to go to him with your heart, with your desires, and he will show you visions and dreams, and he'll show you just what you can accomplish when you look to him, when he works within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, I read Proverbs 29:18, and you know, when we go to God and we really look to him in every situation, he makes you the head and not the tail. He brings this to pass. But are you faithful enough? Noah saw the task to the end. George Mueller also. Jesus Christ had visions, goals, desires and dreams. He completed his task, just not for God but for mankind today. Makes no matter if people don't agree with you. You know, I'm sure people stood around and laughed at Noah when he was building that ark. You know, but see, makes no matter what people say. If it doesn't agree with you, well, you know, and people point fingers, well, it doesn't matter. When it's of God, he helps you to bring it to pass. You know, it was a great task to build the ark. It was a great task to give up your life for mankind. But see, when we look at these situations, they had nothing to do with these guys' backgrounds either. Right? Jesus Christ didn't go on to university. He wasn't so well educated in today's society. George Mueller, his background was a rogue and a thief. Noah, different. It does say that Noah was I read it to you, that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Doesn't say that he had like degrees in building or, you know, he was the master builder. No, it doesn't. So it shows us that our background doesn't count for anything. But what it does show is these guys believed God. They had a relationship with the true living God. They were faithful to God. And most of all, they trusted God. So I really do, I can't really emphasize enough for you to write down your goals and your visions. Pray to God. Let him inspire you. Ask him, you know, ask God to give you some desires. But then we have to stay faithful and not give up. 1 Corinthians, and in chapter 10 and in verse 13 it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I'm not saying that God's not going to show you to build an ark in this day and time, because God did tell us in his word that he wouldn't bring another flood. But if God shows you to build a building and you get the picture very clear, then go ahead and do it. Because God isn't going to put you in a situation that you can't handle. If he's showing you to do something, then you step out in that faith and do it. And you'll watch, as God works within you, how you'll reap the benefits of it. You know, Danny started, the desire came about him wanting to be a tiler. And we all laughed.
He started off as a carpenter.
Well, he started off as a carpenter. But the desire came for him to want to do tiling. And we all laughed. We said, well, you know, you're not qualified to be a tiler. But gradually, you know, that desire really welled up in him. And he pursued. He pursued it. And he wouldn't let it go. And then with his wife, Amber, who backed him up 100%. I mean, she was on the internet searching and seeking and finding places for him to go. And then suddenly one day this one place came up. And I think it was something like £500. And off he went for the week. And he came back. Well, me and Lawrence, we were gobsmacked. He'd come back with a car full of materials and paperwork. And suddenly he started, he just knew how to tile in a space of 1 week.
Yeah.
But God put the desire in his heart first, and then with persistence he followed it through, and now he's on a job and he's practically running the site.
Yeah. He's going to take over the contract.
And he's taken over the contract. Unbelievable. I mean, you really wouldn't believe. In fact, I ought to get him to sit down and actually record this testimony, because it's huge. It really is huge. But don't forget, guys, that God isn't a respecter of persons either. What he does for one, he'll do for all. All he asks is for you to have faith. All he asks is for you to go to him with your desires. Nothing is impossible with God. Are you a go-getter? Or are you a quitter? You can be one or the other, or you could be both. What do you do when things get tough? Do you knuckle down and persevere? Or do you moan and groan and give up? Remember, God never made a failure. You are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus. Sometimes before we even fell, because of anxious thoughts, we feel like failures. We think, what if it doesn't work? What if God doesn't answer me? What if God isn't with me? We must not let the fear overtake us. We must trust in the Lord. We go to God in prayer. If a door opens, like it did with Danny and the tiling, for you, then enter into it, and it will remain open. If a God closes a door, don't worry, because he has even a better door to open when you're ready. You know, for some it takes time, and with others it happens quickly. But remember, it's only down to you and your faith that will bring it to pass. When we spend time with him in prayer, and we allow him to guide us, and we watch and we listen, God will bring those visions and desires and dreams to our hearts. And then gradually, as we hold on in there, the goals will come to pass. We have to keep pursuing righteousness, guys. And we use God's strength to do it. Just like Noah and George Mueller and many others. Like I know that Pedro was speaking about Paul tonight. You know, all throughout the Bible we can read about great men and women of God that had dreams, had desires. You know, Mary, you know, God came to her and showed her that she was going to have a son. I mean, in that day and time, her not being married could have been very frowned upon. But Joseph accepted it, and it came to pass that she gave birth to Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what the obstacles are. It doesn't matter what, you know, how you feel. It doesn't come down to feelings, but bringing those dreams and those desires and those goals to pass is a must. You know, God wants you to have the best. And the way that he gives you the best is through the desires in your heart. So it's only you that stops the desires from coming to pass, because God wants you to be successful. He wants you to live a life which is more than abundant. But again, it comes down to you as an individual. You can't blame anyone if your life is pretty rough right now. You're the one that have given up. You're the one that's not holding in there. You know, God didn't, as I said, God didn't make a failure. But you just go to him, pour your heart out to him, and I tell you, 100% guaranteed that he will put that vision in your heart. You just have to hold on in there to bring it to pass, guys. And you could be like Noah. You could be like George Mueller. You could be like Christ. You have Christ in you, so it's very, very... just manifest it. You know, you can bring it to pass. You have to be that, you know, you're the lights in this world. Start shining. Start showing the world that there is a true living God, and that you can have Christ in you, and your life can make a, well, it can turn around on a dime. All you have to do is trust him. So bless your heart.
When Kim was sharing, basically there's one thing that really is important there, is that God needs a willing heart.
Yes.
You have to be willing. Like, and the dreams, like I done that article, Desires, Vision and Goals, and I wrote my goals, my purpose down. Okay, and our purpose is to do what God wants us to do, right? That's, you know, to preach the gospel, to bring healing, deliverance. But there's many other things that God would want us to do. So this is not my personal desire. This is what the desires God put in my heart to do. It's God's desire that he's placed within me that I've written down. And God is the one that's going to bring it to pass. So I've written it down, so I got it in front of me. And I pray and I give those desires back to God. And, you know, and then it's up to God to bring it to pass. But I just got to stay willing moving forward. And I'll just give you an example of this, right? Going back when we was with that other ministry and it all fell apart, it was just me and Kim, Jason, my mum, and my sister Rebecca. And then all the old believers went away. They didn't want nothing to do with anything. They've said they felt hurt and all this. And I can understand all that, right? But I had a desire to continue. God just needed me to be willing. And when I wanted to do this fellowship, when everyone stopped, there was many fellowships in Bristol, many, not just mine. There was loads at one time. And then when the thing went down, I had the only fellowship going. And it was the people I just mentioned, me, Kim, our kids, Jason, my sister Becky. And then I went round the believers. I said, come on, look, you know, we can still keep moving. God wants us to still keep going. And then some people came back. And then over a period of time, it started to grow again. But God needs someone to stand, you know, in this day and time. So from just standing, and then people said, oh, we need an ordained minister. That was where the mindset was, right, at that time. We need a reverend, you know. And then everyone started to, later on, said, Lawrence, you should go full time. You should be free to serve the people. And then this desire began to grow in my heart. Yeah, I should, how do I do that? I'm not qualified. Because I applied to go into this big training program, but because I didn't have no qualifications, I didn't qualify. I wouldn't understand what they was teaching me, apparently.
The Church of England didn't,
yeah,
you?
No. I never applied to there, but this big ministry we was in, they said, no, you can't be an apprentice person, right? They accepted Kim, but not me. Because in the end, they said, you know, you wouldn't be able to comprehend and all this rubbish. Because they was going by their wisdom, not God's. And God needs heart. Okay, he needs heart. And if you look at, if you study and look at other people's lives, a lot of these people come from nothing, with no education. Look at Albert Einstein and people like this. You know, there's many people that become very, 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 very successful because they had persistence and they had a dream, they had a goal, and they would not quit. So over a period of time, this dream in my heart began to grow about how to move full time. Then I met Sanger, and then he said, "Ah, you're going to move the word in all of the UK and the whole of Europe." But he didn't know. I'd been praying with Jason for 10 years that I needed a word. I was saying to Jason when we prayed, God needs to give me a precise word for me to move ahead so I know what I'm doing. And that was the word. You're going to move the word of God in all of the UK and the whole of Europe, right? And so that always stayed in my heart. And he said, the way you do it is how Abraham received the promise. And I'm thinking, how did Abraham receive the promise? I didn't figure it out. It was just simply by faith, right? So anyway, after I met Sandgate, 2 years went past. I didn't speak to Sandgate within those 2 years. And then I made up my mind within that 2 years. I said, Kim, you know, I'm going to give up my job. She goes, are you crazy? No one at Buntley shares. And she said, you think God throws money out the sky? What Walt Disney film have you been watching? And she laughed at me. And I said, I'm going to do it. And then as time went on, a few more months, the desire was so strong that I couldn't say no to God. I said, God, like, the only thing that's stopping me is fear of what Kim's saying, fear of what other people say, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know where the resources are going to come from for me to do that. But my faith began to grow. And then one day I said to Kim, okay, love.
No, because you said to God that you said you'd take care of
my business. Oh, yeah. So God put in my heart that if you take care of my business, Lawrence, I will take care of your business. And then so Kim was giving me such a hard time. And I said, well, God, you said you'd take care of my business and Kim is my business. So you've got to do something. And one day I really went on to Kim that I'm coming close now to giving up this work. And we had a massive argument. And my mum was still alive at that time. So she said, just go, you know. So I said, I'm leaving you anyway because you're not stopping me doing what God wants me to do. And I put I was willing to give up to go up. And if it meant the marriage, it meant the marriage. That's how determined I was with God. But obviously that was not God's heart, right? Yeah. But I didn't understand that at the time. So I packed my car with all my stuff. Took me ages to get together. And she even helped me. And off I went. And I sat outside my mum's.
My heart was not to hinder you either.
And her heart was not to hinder me. But she just couldn't see how we were going to keep everything together. No. So when I was sat outside my mum's, I was just about to go into my mum. So if I ever had an argument with Kim, I would run to mummy. And then my mum would always tell me off and send me back. She used to say, man up and be a man of the house. You know, so she used to put me in my place anyway. So instead of going in, God just put him out, go back. And when I came back, my daughter Leanne was in the kitchen. And God just showed me that Kim was in a field. And she was in the field and she was really in a wrong place in her mind. So I just grabbed Leanne and I said, follow me. She said, where are we going? I said, just follow me. And she was a little bit worried about what I was up to. We got many fields over the back of our house. So God showed me the specific field. And as he showed me in my mind, when I actually reached the field, there she was in the exact place that the picture come up in my mind. And then she was crying and shaking. I don't want to get in your way, but I don't want to lose you either. And she said, well, look, she goes, I'll go to work and I'll support you because no one else is going to. So at that time, God just put my, just agree to that. So I said, okay, love, whatever. That's, you know, we left it at that.
But you did say within 6 weeks, you will give up.
Yeah. And I said that to her. But then that's when God gave me my first dream. And honestly, I've never had a dream before. And there's only two major times that God gave me a dream. And this was the night when I found out Sandgate was going to Oxford. And there was a How to Heal the Sick and Cast Out Devil class. And we couldn't go to the class, but we could go to the Sunday. And that night I didn't sleep. We had 2 hours left, 2 hours before I had to get up. And I went asleep. And then I had this vision or dream or whatever you want to call it. And God showed me that this was the time. So when I woke up, it felt like I had about 6 months sleep. I was so peaceful, so alive, on fire, and I couldn't even speak. And we go up to Oxford, Sandgate's in there and he's teaching, God's looking for people to go full time, to live freely unto him and to live fully unto him. And it was like that teaching was from me. And from that time, God placed the people there for me to support me, and it was a step at a time. And so, you know, I feel like I'm sharing this because I know that God's working in some of your life to do something great for Him. And you just need to not worry about where the resources are going to come for it, how it's going to happen, but you just take one step at a time with God, and He leads the way. And then from there, the doors opened for me, the finances were there for me to go to India. I start to see healing and deliverance and blind eyes open, ears open, mute people that were born and couldn't speak, their mouths were open. Start seeing all these great signs, miracles and wonders. And I was on fire, man. I was on fire. And I come back from that first visit in February of 2006. And then, you know, God was still taking care of us. And Kim had actually given up work within that space of time as well, and God was providing. And then the desire to go to India was there again. And I would think about India and the people and the miracles I saw. And then I just began to cry because I just really missed these people and the power and the presence. It was just such a special time. And then I said, God, I really want to go again. I you know, there's something there I know I need to learn from there. And all of a sudden, someone rung me up out of the blue, introduced themselves to me, and they said, when are you going to India again? I said, whenever God opens the door. When's the next trip? I said, I know there's a trip in September. This was of 2006. Okay, I want to pay your ticket to go. And then, and that's just how it continued for the next 8 or 9 years. And I think I've been to India over 20 odd times, and Nepal, and I've seen Nepal open from only a handful of people to now there's thousands of people. India also was only a few thousand people, but now there's hundreds of thousands, millions of people. So, like, God has got everything there for you, but it's as you move with God, step by step, and He works with your faith, and He encourages you. And there might be times when it's just quiet and you think, what is going on? What is the direction? But listen, just stay with God. Just stay faithful. Keep your goals in front of you. Give them to God. Don't give up on any dreams or visions if it doesn't seem like it's happening. Because God is really with you. And He is the one that's going to do the work. We just stay in faith. We stay expecting. We keep our desire before us. We give our desire to God, and it's so great. Tell people your desire. Tell them, let them know, because then you voiced it. You spoke it out, and then God will bring that to pass. So God is the one that will bring the desires to pass. God is the one that will do the works and give you the works and encourage you. So, you know, whatever is working in your heart, God is putting desires and in your heart, and you might get those desires and those thoughts and you think, well, no, I can't do that because I've committed to this or I'm doing that. But don't put those desires out because of anything else. Just say, okay, God, if this is what you want, yes, I'll do it. And then let Him work out the details. So just to go on the back end of what Kim was sharing, because I just think, have that willing heart. Have that willing heart, you know, because God is with you. And listen, no one is better than anyone else. He's given us all the same measure of faith. He's given us the same measure of the Spirit of God. God is a faith God. He doesn't need your education, but He needs your faith. That's what He needs. He needs your desires. He needs you to give everything to Him, to lay it at His feet. Go boldly before that throne of grace to find that mercy and help in the time of your need. Give Him all your cares, your worries, your desires, all the things. And He really does take care of. Listen, guys, when I went full time and Kim gave up her work, we was £1,000 in arrears on our rent. And we got a letter through saying, you're going to court next Friday. And if you haven't paid it by then, you will lose your property. And we still had the kids at home then as well. And she said, well, let's see how God's going to meet this need then, Lawrence. So we prayed right in this living room, yeah. Stood up, didn't we? And I said, Father, you need to send us £1,000 cash, not check, because that takes 7 days to clear. And I thank you that you take care of this need and I give it to you. And that's all I done. That was prayed on the Friday. Come the Wednesday, we had 2 more days before call. FedEx knocked on the door. I opened the door.
But you must say, we never told us.
No, we didn't tell anyone, only God knew this. FedEx knocked on the door. I opened the door. There was a bag. Inside the bag, there was a box. Inside the box, there was polystyrene. Inside that was an envelope. Inside the envelope was £1,000 and £50 notes. We went to court, paid the rent, and we kept our home. And God's kept our roof over our head ever since. And he's paid our rent. He's paid the council tax. He's paid our food. He's provided us with cars. We needed a car one time. This car was we got blessed with a 7-seater car because we had to pick up all the youth. We prayed to God for a bigger car. And God put it in someone's heart to bless us with a car. And so this person said, could you go and find me a car? I need a 7 or 8 seater car. You go and find it. This is the, you know, whatever the price is, let me know. And I'll come down and buy it. I'll take your recommendation. So we looked for this perfect car. And then this person come down and I said, this is the one we found and it's really great. And, you know, because it was for her.
It had very little mileage.
Yeah, very little mileage. And then when she said, yes, we'll have this. And she said, it's for you and Kim to pick
she
up all those shoes.
And then gave us the key.
Yeah, and so, like, God took care of that. And then we found it was pretty juicy on the petrol. So I said, God, we need another car. We need something that's small so that we just use that bigger car to pick the youth up. But in the meantime, we use a smaller car to drive around. Well, I'm praying for this. Then out of the blue, we get a call from Ireland. And it was John Kelly, God rest his soul. And he said, Lawrence, he said, do you want a car? And I'm saying, oh, how much do you want for it? He said, oh, don't worry about that. He said, do you need a car? I said, yeah, what type of car is it? He said, it's Fiat Punto. Yeah, Fiat Punto. He said, it's only 4 years old, and it was my son's. But he's 6'8", and he can't fit into it, and he wants to bless you with that car. And that it's an island. And I'm thinking, I said, well, how are we going to get that over? He said, don't worry about that. And he said, don't worry about the money. And so anyway, Ellen Fowler brought the car over on the boat, his wife, brought the car over on the boat and delivered it to us. and she got a plane back. So we didn't tell anyone that. And God provided it. So the things that we need and, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be money. Someone can just gift you. And sometimes it might require money and God can gift you by working in someone's heart. And he'd do it with people that are walking by the Spirit. You know, he provides. He knows how to direct his abundance that he's placed with each believer around the world. And when those people are walking with God, they won't withhold what God has blessed them with to give. You know, and that's why it's important to give. Because, you know, when you're doing that, you're financing and supporting God's word over the world. And that's very important. We all need to do that. We all need to give. It's for our prosperity. And it's to honour God and worship God when we do these things. So, like, just do what God puts in our heart. There's no law. People are trying to say you've got to do it this way, that way. Be led by the Spirit of God. Let God show you. Let God work in your heart. And no one's your boss. Jesus Christ is your boss. You know, God is over Christ. And Christ is our head. And he's working in each of us. And as we submit humbly to them, you know, then they'll lead us, they'll guide us, they'll provide everything we need. We just got to stay faithful and have a willing heart. So I just think that was great what you shared, love. That's really fantastic, showing the example from the Word. God gave Noah the plans. It wasn't Noah's idea, but Noah had a willing heart and Noah had his challenges. But God provided everything that he needed, even bringing the animals to the ark. Like he's going to bring us the laborers, the finances, the open doors. God is faithful. So we just need to encourage one another, remind one another. And the scriptures say that we're to provoke or excite one another unto love and to good works, you know.
And George Miller,
look at that man.
£10,000 in the 1800s was... What would that be in today's money?
He wouldn't even tell people his needs.
No.
And people walk up to him in the street. And in that day, £5,000 check, in that time, 1800s. We got to rise out believing that. We want to be the greatest givers in the world. The only reason we need abundance is so we can give and take care of our needs and take care of the needs of others and to finance the movement of the world so that we're free to move. That is the real heart. You know, what do we really need millions and millions of pounds for? You know what I mean? All right, might be able to get a bigger building, but, you know, me and Kim, we live in a four-bedroom house.
Yeah, but a bigger building means more cleaning.
Yeah,
Petra
for Kim.
Petra knows about that.
Yeah, Petra knows. Yeah, so it's like, you know, we're blessed right where we are. We don't need a mansion, but if God provide wants us to go into somewhere nicer and bigger, that's great. But we're, you know, we're happy
we're
where we are.
And thankful.
And we just, you know, want other people to be blessed, and we want to keep humble and meek before our God. But I know he wants all of us to be successful. He wants all of us to have a great journey through life. And just remember, guys, abundance starts in the heart. What's on the inside will always manifest on the outside. And so, anyway, that's what I want to share. And if anybody else wants to finish off, it doesn't have to be me having the last say. I just always get inspired when my wife shares. I love her sharing, you know. So, anyone else want to finish off anything? I'm going to have a quick see what the toilet is saying to me.
Yeah, I want to say that really blessed me because I didn't have a clue what I was going to be sharing tonight, and so it just came out. And then I heard Lawrence, then I heard Kim, and all three of the sharings just seemed to flow together, which is how God works, and it's just mind blowing. Because we need to hear it ourselves, as well as everyone online. And it's not that there's somebody so important that God's only picked one person. No, everybody can benefit from it. from all the sharings, and all the sharings everybody else shared as well. And I must admit, I haven't had a chance to read Lawrence's article that we put online. Because when I've been out working, I've been listening to things and thinking about these kind of things that we've been talking about tonight. And so I haven't had a chance to sit down and read through it yet, but I know Lawrence shared a snippet with me on the phone last night. But it just really blows my mind how God works it with in our hearts, what he wants to say to his people to encourage them to rise up and literally put our lives in his hands. And whether you're already a gift minister, ordained minister, or whether you're not, or whether you're just a disciple, well, just a disciple is just as important as any of the gift ministers are as well. And I said last week that If you think you're little and unimportant sitting in the back, you know, you've got to take a back seat to everybody else. You haven't, because God can do so much with you because of your heart. And if your heart is really willing, like Lawrence and Kim were saying tonight, then God is going to show you great and mighty things that are just made up of your cookie. And you know, as far as we've come, I'm pretty sure it's the same for Lawrence and Kim as it is for me. We're still learning, and we're still we're anticipating with excitement the next thing. I know I am for definite. But God can definitely turn things around in the most incredible ways, and we don't always know how he'll do it. We just know that he'll do it and that he's faithful. He's always faithful to what he says, what he promises. Whether it's in teachings from the Bible, in manifestations, or in testimonies shared, or one way or another, he could put somebody away that could just say something to you one day, and it might just blow your cookie, or a sequence of events, and you realise, oh, that's what he's showing me. That's why it has happened with me a lot recently. So, yeah, this is I'm really blessed with all this.
Wrap your life up in God and put your heart into his hands. Wrap your life up in God and commit yourself to him. Trust in him with all your heart. Delight in him in all you do. your life, wrap your life up in God. Seek Him with your whole heart and make His word your only rule. Love Him with your whole heart, with all your soul and mind and strength. Rest in Him, His yoke is easy, His burden's light. He loves you freely, He'll satisfy your expectation. So make His word your meditation. Wrap your life up in God, fill your heart with His word, dwell upon Him day and night, and wrap your life, wrap your life up in God. Practice walking in His presence. Set your thoughts on things above. A peaceful, quiet acquiescence is yours to claim from His great love. Wrap your life up in God and put your heart into His hands. Wrap your life up in God. He wants you to draw close to Him. He'll never leave you or forsake you. When you're weak, His strength sustains you. He's there beside you every step, closer than your very breath. Wrap your life up in God, fill your heart with His word, give Him all your cares and dreams, and wrap your life, wrap your life up in God. Wrap your life up in God. Fill your heart with His word. Trust in Him with all your heart. Delight in Him in all you do. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And wrap your life up in God.